Hey, podcast listeners. This is Pedro Falchi from Boston University and the Howard Thurman Center for Common Ground. Today, I continued my conversation with Ken Elmore, Associate Provost and Dean of Students, Eric Jarvis, the BU Hub Program Manager, and Grace Ferguson, a first-year student studying journalism. We took a deeper dive into the BU Hub, and especially the co-curricular component, meaning outside the classroom activities that now will count for Hub units. We'll explain further in this episode and hope you enjoy. Eric, Dean Elmore, Grace, so good to see you again. Thank you for coming back to continue our conversation on the BU Hub. So last week, we got an overview of what the Hub is, BU's first ever general education curriculum, which includes co-curricular experiences. And Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, co-curricular experiences, to rehash this a little bit, They are outside the classroom experiences primarily. They combine activity, assignments for the students, reflection for the students, and obviously discussion. They do foster critical inquiry in the way that an academic experience should. Like I said, there is a formal assessment process, so it's not just a show up and do whatever you want. There is ownership and a chance to really keep the students accountable. And the biggest piece, I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, not only can faculty supervise these, but staff, administrative staff, can also supervise co-curricular experiences. So is that the general structure?
Yes. I mean, I think you hit upon all the sort of the kind of key points. And, you know, to your last point, it's true that staff can supervise Hub co-curriculars as well as faculty. In fact, I think we imagined that the majority of supervisors would be staff. And that's something I think that's really kind of exciting and innovative about these experiences, and also represents a kind of new and unfamiliar terrain that I would say 90% of the supervisors of these experiences right now are staff. And so that has meant all kinds of things in terms of how we try to grow this program, how we talk about this program, the kinds of resources that we need to support this program. Everything else I think that you pretty much nailed. I would add just a couple of other things. And one, an important part of the formal assessment process kind of idea too is that Hub co-curriculars are assessed as courses would be. In other words, they have to be approved by the General Education Committee here at Boston University. So that's an important kind of aspect of this. They have to be formally approved by the university. And then the only other thing that I would point out too is that they typically, we imagined that they would involve around 90 hours of work or activities, which is the equivalent of 2 credit hours of student effort. And I mention that again only because that has meant that the initial framing of these are as rigorous experiences. That's a fair amount of work, and it's also something that I think we're trying to kind of think through, that these are our guidelines, but I think we also understand that these are evolving guidelines, and we're trying to understand how they're going to work, how they're going to work for students, how they're going to work for staff. So that's just a big caveat to say, yes, these are our guidelines, but they're still being negotiated as we gather more evidence.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and if I can add something, this is Ken, if I can add another point to this that I think is really important, I want to talk about two things. First, how we got here to this place with the general education requirement having a co-curricular component, but secondly, this element of time is really important. We are really trying to, I think, facilitate, because we've got to modify this to work for on a practical level about what the experiences might be for students. We realized as part of early conversations that maybe we shouldn't box ourselves into a required 14 weeks or a required 12 weeks. So when Eric talks about the roughly 90 hours, it could be done in 2 weeks. It could be done in 4 weeks. It could be done intermittently over time. And we're really trying to make sure that for the sake of having real value, real substance, that we not get locked into thinking about time. The goal here is to make sure that we're meeting the not only a standard for what you know, what methods or what approach you use in a classroom, but to make sure that we hit those learning outcomes. That's really what it is. And if it takes you 14 weeks to hit the learning outcomes, that's great. If you can do it in 2 weeks through the experience, that would be great too. And that opens up so many more opportunities for us on the co-curricular front. And we got here through a subcommittee of our implementation group on the general education requirement. I was fortunate enough to lead up a group of faculty and administrators as we thought through the requirements for what a co-curricular would be all about. You know, one of these really interesting things about starting a general education program is that you have got to define everything. And so we had the task of defining those very things that you mentioned at the onset. And I'll point this out too, and I think Eric and I will say this over and over again, this is evolving, this is changing. Yeah. I suspect that in 2 years, this is just not gonna look the same.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I just wanna pick up on one thing that Ken said and put it in even broader terms. You know, he was talking about time and the need to kind of have sort of flexible arrangements for staff, because there can be all kinds of reasons why they might want to have something take place over the course of the year as opposed to a semester that might work better for their workflow, for example. But more generally, I think we've just recognized that we just have to be flexible in implementation. We have to take a flexible mindset. And it's also... So that means that we have to leave room for all of these different units that we're asking to create co-curricular experiences, for them to have it still has to fit within what they're doing. And so that means that we have to take, I think, we have to adopt a kind of flexible mindset and recognize that we need to give folks room to make use of the things that they're doing in the way that makes the most sense for them. I mean, I know that's been a lesson for me in this experience, that, and I often tell that to supervisors or potential supervisors or potential proposers of co-curricular experiences. You know, we'll talk about the learning outcomes and we'll talk about what they're doing, and I'll always kind of emphasize wherever you land with this, it needs to also work with the goals of your unit and what you're doing.
And it's also got to work with, and people have to be mindful of a student schedule too. So for example, part of the vision for this was think about alternative service breaks. We have a lot of them here. And they have that really wonderful potential to be co-curriculars. Well, those are done over the course of a week or two. And so, because that's what works for those students who are doing that. And it also works with the Community Service Center and how they operate too. So that's where we got to think about that wonderful fit for everyone's schedule and everyone's mode of operation.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about this, both this. You were on the ground floor of loosely defining this experience. You referenced flexibility, which mm-hmm. is still evolving. But once you had the general framework in mind, were there units or departments that were obvious first partners to start really spreading the gospel of co-curriculars and creating that culture change that ultimately we want to see at BU?
Yeah, and I think in sort of conversation with Dean Elmore and Beth Loiseau, the Associate Provost of Undergraduate Affairs, you know, we sort of talked about the places that we felt like were the best kind of and most immediate fits. And many of them were under the umbrella of the Dean of Students Office, the Thurman Center for Common Ground, Pedro, where you work, Community Service Center, Residence Life, the Office of Disability Services, Student Activities. Those were all places that we knew we wanted to involve kind of early in that conversation. And then I would say there was another group of units who we really wanted to involve and who we wanted to be involved in to become a part of this and to become invested in this experience. And in that category, I would put Wellness and Prevention Services and BU Athletics, Innovate at BU, the Fitness and Recreation Center, Marsh Chapel. And so those are places where, you know, like athletics is a good example of a place that might not really in the past have envisioned itself as a part of or sort of participating in the academic curriculum. And some of those groups have become, I think, really invested, you know, in this program. Athletics is in fact, a good example. They actually have two proposed co-curriculars now, and they've, and we're really excited to see how those things turn out. So I would say there were those that appeared to be kind of the clearest fits, and then there were those who we really wanted to sort of bring in.
And then you think about it, too. Part of the reason why Eric mentioned those is because there's also this focus on a hub area that we think, or two hub areas that we think are really essential for these offices that were mentioned. If you think about the hub areas of diversity, civic engagement, and global citizenship, there are so many of these areas, so many of these units that fit in, because we're thinking about the individual and the community, global citizenship, intercultural literacy, and ethical reasoning. The other area, hub area, is the intellectual toolkit. And this is where these offices, think of the offices that Eric mentioned, they deal with critical thinking, of course, but really teamwork and collaboration, creativity, innovation, and life skills. And so these are sweet spots for those groups to really focus in on the hub area.
Yeah, that's actually, I think, a really important point, because like with the Thurman Center for Common Ground, for example, that's a natural place to develop co-curriculars around the individual and community unit, or the global citizenship and intercultural literacy unit. Innovate at BU was a clear fit for the creativity and innovation unit. And so it's really nice when those things sort of line up. Athletics for a teamwork and collaboration unit. You know, there are ways in which there are nice fits in terms of learning outcomes and program content at the outset.
Right.
On the other hand, there are times when units might be really interested in participating, but it's not clear how they're going to fit. And then, you know, what learning outcomes for one of these units they could fulfill successfully. And then that involves a rethinking of what they're doing, or developing new activities that can fulfill the learning outcomes for one of these units. I mean, Ken's right. At the end of the day, you know, we sort of take all these considerations into mind, what works for you, what works for students, but the bottom line is that the co-curriculars have to fulfill the learning outcomes for the unit. And I think we've had some just learning experiences working with the different units about kind of puzzling through what's going to work the best, where the best fits are, and oftentimes they have to do some of that work. You know, they have to think about the learning outcomes and connect it to what they're doing and say, oh, I think this will work better here. And for some, that's meant that the process of developing these has taken a considerable amount of time. It could take a year, anywhere but from 3 months to a year, because of some of the thinking that's involved, and because working with learning outcomes for some staff in this kind of directed way aimed at an academic curriculum is a new experience.
Let me do one pitch, too. You know, Eric mentioned the Howard Thurman Center for Common Ground, which we've started reconstructing so we have a larger space. Well, I'm real pleased that in that Thurman Center, we will have physical classroom space primarily for the hub capacity that deals with diversity, civic engagement, and global citizenship, and certainly for co-curriculars to be in that space too. That integration, if you will, of a real central question at the university with the general education requirement. So that's a really important kind of thing.
Grace, let me get your perspective.
Sure.
As a first-year student. You've now heard quite a bit from the three of us about co-curriculars.
Yes.
Has it totally upended what you expected out of your student life, out of the classroom life as a first year student?
Absolutely, definitely. Throughout high school, I've always thought of extracurriculars as being very separate from the classroom. Although that seems kind of paradoxical considering, for example, when you're looking at colleges and you're applying to colleges, they're asking about those things, mm-hmm. and they're asking about what you're doing outside of the classroom. So it seems to make a lot of sense to me now that those learning outcomes are being recognized. And that's what I really love about it, is the school is seeing that learning is happening and helping us doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you also speak to this notion of a total student experience and not
exactly.
A siloed student experience where it's in a classroom and then it's outside of a classroom. Nah, this is total thinking about your mind and your soul and your heart.
Exactly. Grace, is there anything, and this is just a question that you may or may not have an answer to, but like, is there anything that, you know, is worth thinking about this, like from the student perspective, that you think it would be good for us to keep in mind? Like, I spend a lot of time thinking about how these are going to fit into a student's course load, for example, you know, and when are good times in the student's sort of learning experience for these to fit in. And as we've discussed, I think we're still kind of trying to work these things out. But is there anything in particular? Are there topics that would interest you? Are there ways in which, you know, or is there, you know, aspects of this that you could see changing, or that you are exciting to you, or that are that you would want us to sort of think about
and a little bit. And let me add, I think a lot about how a department or administrative unit can still do what they do every day and do the co-curriculars. Mm-hmm. And I think about shifting people's responsibilities, and I think about raising money to make sure that we can pay for some of these co-curriculars and keeping budgets neutral. So we delve in so much of the administrivia, but talk to us, Grace.
Sure, absolutely. Well, so one thing I think is when we're talking about these co-curriculars, I think the first thought that a student might have is, oh, I can get credit for this thing that I'm already doing. And so I think one of the challenges for the school might be, how can we get students to explore new things and not just say, okay, well, I'm already in this club. This club is now doing this co-curricular, so I'm just going to jump to the co-curricular. How are you going to get students to look at a new club that they might not have even thought about, but sort of directing them to it because there is an incentive to get that hub unit? And then also thinking about how you can get them engaged, not just to get the hub unit, but to really start exploring that program after that co-curricular is over, and give them options. Because the thing about the co-curricular that makes it different from the extracurricular is it does have time parameters. It starts and it ends. And so what I'm sort of wondering about now is, what happens after it ends? Where does that go? Is there a way for that student to segue into that program? What might happen after that? So those are some of the things that I'm thinking about.
And Grace, do you think that there's an incentive for a student to maybe explore if they know they can't fail this, and that there won't be any sort of black mark, if you will, on their transcript for trying it out?
Yes, definitely the fact that it's voluntary, I think definitely helps with that. And absolutely, I think that students, we get kind of sick of grades, and we get kind of sick of having numbers reflect our performance, and grades are important. But I think that it's going to be really refreshing to students to have an activity where they can just give it their all and know that what they're getting out of it, they're not trying to get that number. They're trying to get an experience for themselves, and they're trying to develop their skills, and that's the reward.
Yeah, actually, I had a student the other day who said something very similar to that, which was, oh, you know, they were kind of looking through our one sheet about these, and like, oh, these are ungraded. There's zero credit. That means that I could take this and I wouldn't have to overload, you know. And I've had other students say, oh, it's not a course. Here's a way to earn a unit that isn't a course. And so, you know, we're just trying to sort of figure out the way that students are thinking about these things and want to think about them. And your point about what happens afterwards is well taken, because that's something that we've thought about, and that we're not, I think we, and when I say we, I mean the different units that are offering these, have to think about how these students who have participated in this experience as part of the formal curriculum, how can they continue to do that afterwards? And how might that work with other students who might still be doing this as a part of the curriculum? It can get a little tricky when you have some students who are taking something for a unit and some who aren't. And so that's something that I think we have to figure out.
You know, and a related concern is when a department is thinking about doing a co-curricular that involves maybe some students who are engaged in the activity because they're engaged in the activity, they're volunteering or something of that end, and then other students who are getting hub credit, you want to make sure that the dynamic isn't one where it creates real tension with that sort of circumstance. And it's also one of those things we think about as well. Work, how does work fit into co-curricular? We haven't gotten settled on that, but it's one of those real challenging questions for us, because there are some work experiences that look like really exciting co-curriculars, but there's just this notion of work and pay and different people doing the same thing and maybe getting a benefit that a co-worker doesn't get. It's just really complex. So we mentioned earlier that this is going to change over time. I hope we figure out how to engage certain types of work experiences into the BU Hub. Mm.
Eric, what about preparing staff? Not faculty, but preparing staff to serve as supervisors, to submit proposals. These, speaking from experience, it was a little bit daunting. But what kind of resources did you all have to create in the first place to have the infrastructure to support staff development?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You said it was daunting. Just give people a sense as to what was daunting about this. I mean, don't you do workshops all the time, and you're talking to students, and you're engaging students. You're typical of, particularly student affairs professionals. You know, we're always talking to people, right? So what was daunting about this? This should have been easy.
What was daunting about it is having to create something that would be approved by the faculty, that would appear on a student's transcript, and where I, as a supervisor, would have to assess a student's work, where in a workshop or a program, it's usually a one-time drop-in-as-you-please experience. Mm-hmm. So my concern was getting this right for the students who will participate in the co-curricular I supervise. They will probably come in and expect, or not, but I think they will, expect me to have my stuff together in the same way a faculty member would in a four-credit class. And that's where I think, Eric, you really had to build up our confidence. When I say our, I mean staff, and give us some tools to make that happen.
Yeah, there's just so many interesting things that you just said that I want to respond to. I'm not really sure where to begin. But let me just say this, that it's interesting to hear you say that too, because, you know, it felt like for you, and I don't want to focus on you here in the moment too much, but just that, you know, it seemed, you know, from a little bit from my perspective, that you were someone who tended to move through the process, I think, it was easier in some ways than for others. And I really appreciate your concern about wanting to sort of get things right and wanting to make sure that you're prepared for this experience. One thing that might be a small comfort, though, to know is that really for anybody who leads a learning experience, a faculty member, anybody, the first time they have, and it was the same for me when I was teaching history at BU, the first time that you do it, it's really hard to feel like you have any idea what you're doing. And it's in many ways, supervisors, staff are all going to go through that same experience. Just like, you know, we were talking about earlier, you have to set up your Blackboard site and you have to kind of figure out how to do an e-portfolio. That's what you want to do. And you have to understand the registration deadlines and then all these pieces. And so this whole bigger topic is something that I've thought about a lot and that I'm going to really focus on in this next year when we think about operations, which is how to make sure that staff have what they need and what we can do, what we can provide for that to make the experiences as strong as possible. And so one thing that we've done that I think has been really crucial is we worked with the BU Center for Teaching and Learning, or the CTL as we call it for short, which is a unit here that typically works with faculty to sort of create student-centered, inclusive learning experiences that incorporates research, you know, helps to strengthen teaching at BU. And they have been working on workshops for hub courses and helping faculty develop proposals for hub courses. And we began to work with them too putting together co-curricular workshops. And in these workshops, which were primarily attended by staff, there were some faculty too, it gave them an opportunity to, they meaning staff, to really think about what the BU Hub was, to really engage with the learning outcomes, to really think about how what they're doing could fulfill those outcomes. You know, to create a space where, one, conceptually, you can think about what's happening. And then, you know, two, sort of practically, what you have to do that. What form do I have to fill out? What proposal do I have to put together? And then three, to kind of be around in a community of others who are doing the same thing. Because just as with faculty, one of the most helpful things that you can do is just to talk with others and to hear what they're doing. So those workshops, I think, have been really helpful. I say that based just on some anecdotal evidence from some I've talked to, but also because we had 9 of those workshops last year and we had 31 attendees. And of our submitted co-curricular proposals, we've had 23 so far, 70% of them have come through those workshops. So I think that speaks to the fact that that was an important sort of locus of support, let's say. for staff needed different things from it. Some might have needed more help thinking about the learning outcomes. Others might have just needed some of the more sort of practical information. Others might have needed help developing their sort of calendar of activities or thinking about how that would work. So I think that the workshops offer different things for everybody, and we hope to continue to do those. I actually don't know. I think it would have been much, much harder. Just by virtue of what you said earlier, you know, in terms of how it can be daunting to think about doing this. It would be for anybody who's never gone through that experience before, and so those workshops provided a space to kind of work some of that out. The other thing I'll say that we're doing in addition to the workshop is just I've had orientation sessions with supervisors where we kind of go through all the nuts and bolts of things. Onboarding, if you will, you know, of co-curricular supervisors, and I developed a supervisor handbook that's just intended to spell out some of these basic things. You know, how will you let us know, for example, that your student successfully completed this experience? What if you want to give a student, what if a student needs to withdraw or wants to take an incomplete? How does that work? How will you notify us? Where do you go for your digital resources? These are exactly the same questions, by the way, that no faculty member knows at the beginning when they start teaching. So, but what's happening is that staff are having to just develop some of this knowledge and understanding of some of the university's operational systems just to make these work. And so, yeah, I think about this a lot because I think it's an area that we're going to need more. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably reach out to you and others along the way and say, what can we do? And because, you know, you have the operational pieces of things, but the thing I'm really the most concerned about is the learning experience itself. And how can we support staff in just making their learning experiences as strong as possible? Because we're all learning as educators.
And I suspect in my neck of the woods, in the Division of Student Affairs, we'll probably put together a department, if you will, where a group of us who are doing these co-curriculars and thinking about these co-curriculars will at least be able to come together regularly to get a sense as to what might be coming down the pipe, what we should encourage, what we've seen that maybe we could encourage some people to create as co-curriculars, and what people are currently working on overall. Eric, there was also an incentive for staff participating in these. Do you mind mentioning that?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's actually important.
That's an important thing.
Yeah, it's important. So staff who participate in these workshops and then submit a proposal that reaches the General Education Committee receive a stipend of $1,000. And that was to incentivize staff, but also just to recognize that it's a lot of work. It's work to create, to develop these proposals and think it through and write them and then have them reviewed and then revise them. And so, I think that was important. I think that was really important.
Just for the benefit of our listeners, can you talk about who sits on the General Education Committee? Not the individual people, but the positions.
So let me situate this a bit. The university has a policy making group called the University Council. The University Council is headed by the president, and it is composed of academic leaders as well as faculty members. And everything goes through. That's a policy at the university through the University Council. That's how policy is made at the university. There are a few subcommittees for that. One aspect of the University Council is the General Education Committee. And it is a part of University Council, a subcommittee of University Council. And as Eric mentioned, all hub proposals, courses, and co-curriculars have to be approved by the GEC before they're available for students. The GEC, the General Education Committee, is composed of faculty, and it is under the leadership of one of our associate provosts and a faculty member.
Thank you for clarifying that. So let's talk about what positives you've seen thus far. 2018 was a huge year for co-curriculars, and the fall semester was the first one where we actually had students participating in co-curriculars. Eric, what have you seen that is giving you joy and hope?
Well, actually, there is a lot that is giving me joy and hope, Pedro. We actually just had our first student earn a hub unit through a co-curricular That was really exciting and a nice moment. And what I'm seeing is that, you know, when I'm excited about a lot of things, so I'll just name a couple of them. The first is just in practical terms, things are growing and students seem interested. And so we ran a couple of hub co-curriculars this fall. It looks like we're going to run 10 this spring, with 50 to 60 students. And so things are growing. There's interest. And it feels like we have some momentum. I'm really excited about the offerings themselves. We have, you know, the different units that have created these have created all kinds of interesting experiences. And so, you know, Innovate at BU has an experience on sort of design thinking, you know, and applying that process, you know, towards social issues. And Wellness and Prevention Services has an experience on individual and community health and well-being at BU and exploring that through a public health lens. FitRec, or our Fitness and Recreation Center, is exploring how you communicate about wellness. The Thurman Center and its Common Thread podcast is another great opportunity for students. I mean, you can just see how different all these things are. And so every time that we have a new co-curricular approved, it looks unlike any of the others. And so I'm excited about the range of things. And then the third thing that I would say is I've been really excited about some of the relationships that we've developed, we meaning the hub and the hub office, with some of the different units. And in particular that some of these units, like BU Athletics, for example, or the Fitness and Recreation Center, or even Wellness and Prevention Services, have really kind of taken ownership, you know, of these experiences. And so while with the Thurman Center, the Howard Thurman Center for Common Ground, we knew that would be a good fit, you know, and that you would be invested in that. But it's been great to see these other groups kind of care about what they're doing and realizing, hey, this is really cool. We're sort of participating in the academic curriculum. You know, Athletics submitted two proposals, and that's really exciting. And you know, we've had other groups that it's been more challenging to sort of bring forth proposals, you know, from those areas for different reasons. You know, I mean, all units have had their kind of challenges in terms of sort of figuring out how this would work. But it's just been exciting to see some of these groups get excited about this.
Dean Elmer, what about you? Joy and hope.
Well, I think I'll jump right on everything Eric said, and I agree. I think I just add one thing. I'm slowly starting to see people's mindset change about this. It's getting easier to have that conversation. You know, we're starting to share a common language about it. I'm starting to see more people really understand the big value of why we're doing co-curriculars with the hub, and thinking a little bit about what their abilities and their capacities are to be able to participate in the hub. As an example, you've done hiring, you're in the process of doing hiring, and one of the conversation points is how can this person support the hub? Are they the type that is going to be able to supervise a co-curricular, or are they going to be able to take on some additional sorts of efforts in and around what we do so that someone else in the department can support a co-curricular? So I think that goes to mindset, and that goes to big understanding about value.
You're absolutely right, Dean. In interviewing for a position at the Howard Thurman Center, I made sure to bring up time and time again what the hub is, how it is here to stay, and will be an integral part of a student experience. And can this candidate serve in a leadership capacity, as you said, as a supervisor, or can they, in essence, support the supervisors by taking some of the things off of their plate to allow them the time to do this to the best of their ability? Grace, you've heard so much, the ins and outs of the co-curricular. I'm curious. Eric's talking about athletics, wellness and prevention services, Marsh Chapel. Are any of these departments piquing your interest as ways that you can get involved that you never expected before?
My gosh. Well, I am already involved with the Common Thread podcast, but that was definitely something that piqued my interest. As a journalism major, I'm really interested in storytelling and creating media as well. And so that certainly was really interesting to me that I could take that and then also earn credit for that. So that was definitely very interesting to me. But I would also want to hear a little bit more about the specifics of each of these co-curriculars. I've sort of heard them referred to, but I haven't heard more of a list of them, or perhaps more specific, more specifically about what exactly they are or what they do. And I think that that's actually true for a lot of the student body. I think that they may have heard of co-curriculars, but they aren't really sure what they are. They don't know where to find a list of them, how to get involved with them, that as well.
Well, you know, I think some of that's got to be, we've got to redouble our efforts so that when a student's in an advising mode or asking about classes, even if it's not an advisor, we all have to be able to say, and have you thought about co-curriculars as a way to fulfill your general education? We're about to do our winter orientation, and we're also revamping how orientation's going to go this point forward. You know, our orientation programs here at the university will in effect be about Common Ground, registering for classes, and the BU Hub. And the co-curriculars will play heavily into that overall. So I think over time, we're going to have a real problem on our hands, Eric. We're not going to have enough seats, I think, over time. Because, future projection. I just think that this is going to be incredibly popular once we all are talking the talk, and once students really just take it on as a tradition. I think it really has the opportunity to be a tradition at Boston University that people will talk about for years. I think right now when a BU student gets together, they will ask, or alums get together, one of the questions I think they ask is, what'd you do during senior week? Because that's become a longstanding tradition. Almost everybody participates in it. And then ultimately, I do think people are going to say, hey, what kind of co-curriculars did you do when you were at BU?
Yeah.
And we'll all know what that means. We know that's not an extracurricular. We know it's not some workshop. We know that this was a bona fide hub offering that is on your transcript.
Yeah, and I think that just speaks to the big, big, big kind of aim here, you know, which is to create, you know, the challenge and the hope, which is to create this co-curricular culture at BU, and to, you know, to have students sort of imagine themselves as a part of that, to have staff feel empowered to lead it, to have it interact meaningfully with the academic curriculum. And, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, the kind of hope and the joy and the positives here, and I think that that's a good place to focus, because there are good signs here for the program and for interest. But we've been through a year, and there's a ways to go. And I think that we are beginning to see those kinds of mindset shifts, where we don't necessarily have to try to persuade quite as strongly sometimes that these are going to be really valuable experiences, right. But that it's also going to take some time, and that we're still very much in the kind of building up phase. And I want you to know too, you know, Pedro, that like we want these to be really strong experiences for students. We want them to remember them. And we need good people to lead them. And that means making sure that you and other supervisors have what they need. And some of that is making sure that you have the resources at the beginning, and some of it is just getting people who are doing them again and again. Because whatever happens the first time that you supervise the experience, it's going to continue to improve the more that you do it, and you'll learn. And my hope, here's one more hope, my hope is that staff find some joy in this, that when we get past the space of how is this going to work and how is this going to affect my other responsibilities, and it seems like more work, then suddenly this is like, wow, I'm actually going to get to sort of supervise an experience and help students fulfill a part of their academic curriculum. That's really cool, and is something new for me to do. That hopefully you'll find gratifying.
I mean, and go even bigger than that. You know, we often as staff hope that we are engaged in meaningful efforts with students that they're going to carry to their workplaces, to graduate school, to their homes, to their lives, and to be able to be in student affairs and to be able to be so aligned with the total student experience that includes the academic, of course. This is a grand way to do it. Like I said, it's a real privilege that we have right now to be able to do this. You know, what we've got to do, I mean, making the extracurricular co-curricular, it is, as you said, it's a mindset. And, you know, I I just wanted to try and get everyone to read the original hub report. I mean, that's a vital thing. It is so essential to read that and to reread it and reread it. I think I've sent it to my staff 3 or 4 times and said, you know, you got to read this thing. You really do. You got to sit down and do some homework on this. But you know, that's how it starts to shift. When we can start asking questions of each other, when we are automatically saying, when we're in a meeting and we're working on a project and we say, well, we got to get some students engaged. Well, how do we get them engaged? Well, we'll get them engaged in a co-curricular kind of way. We'll make sure that there's reflection. We'll make sure that there's a work product that's involved with this. We'll make sure that we've got the requisite amount of time that they're going to be able to work on this. And we also make sure that there's some things they're going to learn from this as well, meeting the outcomes that we've got. I actually think I'm going to start carrying around the outcomes for a couple of these things.
And if that's a great idea.
You know, this works. Let me show you why. Check. I had one of those experiences yesterday. I'm at a meeting. I thought, wow, this is a co-curricular. And all the faculty I was sitting with, everyone had a light bulb go off. And they said, absolutely. Let's make it work. Let's do it. And so, you know, hopefully what we can do, and I know this is really hard, my hope is that we can be that kind of nimble offering co-curriculars. That based upon that meeting I had yesterday, that a few of us could just sit in a room today and say, okay, here's how we do it. Is there any way we can announce this and put it out there? You know, in the same way that we're saying that a co-curricular is not confined to a semester, a way that we can say to people, okay, we got a 2-week co-curricular available now. First 10 that sign up, you're in. We need that kind of nimbleness too. And that's hard with big institutional systems to be able to do that. But that's what we need. That's exciting. That's cool. And I think that's how we take this thing in the future.
That gives me something to work toward, because just thinking about that word, you know, trying to be really nimble. I think that we can be more nimble, you know, in the coming months, and because so much we've had to sort of figure so many things out and have so many kind of conversations to sort of establish the conditions for these. But I think now that we're moving and we have proposals coming in and we're having people, folks start to lead them, I think we're going to be able to be more and more nimble. So that's a good goal for me.
And as someone who is doing this for the first time next semester, I actually appreciated that there were, in essence, tight parameters at the outset.
Yeah.
Goalposts that I need to work within.
Yeah.
And I think to your point, Eric, after doing it once, I will figure out myself how I can be more nimble, and that'll be the case for all of us who are supervising experiences. Grace, you had a thought.
I did. I would just like to add from the student perspective that in training these staff for these co-curriculars, they're sort of becoming ambassadors for them, which I really like, because then within your program, maybe a staff member who you're not working directly with, they're there and they're present, and they can tell you about that co-curricular, and you could discover that in a way that maybe you wouldn't have. Mm. So definitely not only in, you know, official avenues, getting the word out to students, but also training all these people, and then these people can be these ambassadors for these programs, and they can tell students just in person.
You know, and I also hope, to that point as well, I hope that the staff that's getting trained and educated on this and thinking about this starts to look at each other's operations and say, have you ever thought about it as a co-curriculum? Mm. Hey, by the way, we can work with you on that, right? We got this one particular component, you got this other component, let's do this together. Let's do a few more of these.
So that's also in the joy category for me, Pedro. We've seen a little bit of that this year too, where a couple of units have wanted to offer a co-curricular. Maybe they wanted to do something around innovation for a particular part of their offering, and so they went to Innovate at BU and had them help to sort of facilitate that. And so there's a lot of opportunity for collaboration here. And in fact, I think that's going to be a model moving forward that will be effective and also help to kind of sort of share the load of these, where a unit could decide, I want to partner with the College of Fine Arts, for example, and create a co-curriculum on this, and you'll do this part of it, and I'll do this part of it. And I could really see that kind of collaborative model being effective. And interestingly, it's been really kind of nice to see how gradually there will be kind of a community of folks who are running these, supervising these experiences. And so it's bringing together people from all of these different units, you know, interesting, smart, creative people who you get together and can have conversations about how to make stronger learning experiences. And so hopefully we'll do more of that, because you know, in the end, my role is really to support, and the hub's role is to provide administrative and, you know, support to those who are offering these experiences. So I am, you know, trying to help facilitate, but in the end, it's you know, it would be it's your experience, you know, Pedro, or it's the unit's experience, and I think that relationship is still kind of evolving, right? It's different because the hub isn't a kind of a quasi college, if you will. It's in a way, not only are the co-curriculars a new space, but that relationship between the hub and these different units is a new space. It's not as though there's a clearly sort of demarcated, you're going to do this and I'm going to do this. It's more, we have to do these things together. And you know, on my side, here's something that I think could work. How does this work for you? Because I'm going to be looking to you. I'm going to be calling you up, Pedro, and asking you for your opinion. You know, and you're going to have an opportunity to really shape how things evolve.
And you know, there is also, I mean, if we think about the hub being a quasi college and co-curriculars being a department in that, you know, we've got this wonderful opportunity now for a physical embodiment of that. You think about Innovate at BU, you think about the new Thurman Center that's coming online. These are physical spaces where people could start to identify that the co-curricular space is over at the Thurman Center or Innovate at BU. We got to get Res Life to that point where people say that's another co-curricular space. We got to get student activities being viewed as a co-curricular space. I mean, these are the places where professors, students should be coming in and saying, hey, can you all help put together one of these sorts of things? And they should just know, yeah, go over to Innovate or the Thurman Center or go with student activities and throw some ideas out and see if they've got some staff that might want to try and collaborate on this and make that happen for you. Because right now it's still one of those things that staff has to propose these, faculty and staff propose these. But man, we got physical spaces where they can easily be identified as the co-curricular think tank.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation about the BU Hub, and I'd like to thank my wonderful guests, Associate Provost and Dean of Students Kenneth Elmore, Eric Jarvis with the BU Hub, and Grace Ferguson, your wonderful BU student. And thank you, our podcast listeners. Tune in next time.